From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Success in the Place of Failure. In chapter 8 of Joshua, we find the account of Israel's victory over the city of Ai. After the first attempt to take the city, which ended in disaster and defeat, Joshua first dealt with the sin which had cost Israel the victory, the sin of Achan. Now Joshua did what he should have done in the first place. He sought the Lord and received the strategy for taking Ai. As he seeks to show how the Lord is able to give victory where there has been defeat, Dr. Cairns is focusing on the matter of personal restoration. Many believers have experienced the feeling that, after having fallen into some great sin, that their usefulness to God is over, that there is no way back. Yet the Bible teaches the very opposite, both in this passage and in many others. There is indeed a promise of victory in the place of defeat. However, for this to take place, the believer must take extreme measures in dealing with whatever sin caused the defeat. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, there is no room for half-heartedness when seeking spiritual victory. It requires total commitment. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Divine love is rendered conspicuous when it shines in the midst of judgments. Fair is that lone star which smiles through the rifts of the thunderclouds. Bright is the oasis which blooms in the wilderness of sand. So fair and so bright is love in the midst of wrath. When the Israelites provoked the Most High by their continued idolatry, He punished them by withholding both dew and rain, so that their land was visited by a sore famine. But while He did this, He took care that His own chosen ones should be secure. If all other brooks are dry, yet shall there be one reserved for Elijah. And when that fails, God shall still preserve for him a place of sustenance. Nay, not only so, the Lord had not simply one Elijah, but He had a remnant according to the election of grace, who were hidden by fifties in a cave. And though the whole land was subject to famine, yet these fifties in the cave were fed, and fed from Ahab's table, too, by his faithful, God-fearing steward, Obadiah. Let us from this draw the inference that, come what may, God's people are safe. Let convulsion shake the solid earth, let the skies themselves be rent in twain, yet amid the wreck of worlds, the believer shall be as secure as in the calmest hour of rest. If God cannot save His people under heaven, He will save them in heaven. If the world becomes too hot to hold them, then heaven shall be the place of their reception and their safety. Be ye then confident when ye hear of wars and rumors of wars. Let no agitation distress you, but be quiet from fear of evil. Whatsoever cometh upon the earth, you, beneath the broad wings of Jehovah, shall be secure. Stay yourself upon His promise, rest in His faithfulness, and bid defiance to the blackest future, for there is nothing in it direful for you. Your sole concern should be to show forth to the world the blessedness of hearkening to the voice of wisdom.
Like a sunrise slowly spreading to illumine all the sky, comes the Christ into the shadows of a world condemned to die. Great the light that shines in darkness, gracious day spring after night. the gospel truth revealing, drawing sinners to the light.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of mega-churches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, and down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. The CD is $5, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CD of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis.
I have met Christians who have lived in the spiritual doldrums for years. They have thought, there's nothing better for me. I have somehow made such a mess of life. I have made such awful mistakes. I have fallen into such awful failure that there is no way forward for me. But the Scripture says, fear not. Do not be dismayed. And I think we could interpret that also as saying, don't think that you will make the situation any better by doing some sort of Christian penance. You know, when Christians feel, they drive themselves down into the ground and they keep on telling themselves what evil people they are, what vicious people they are, what useless people they are, what hopeless cases they are. And there is some sort of a perverse delight in this, that the worse I make myself feel, and the longer I make myself feel it, then perhaps somehow I'll be worth lifting out of it. The Lord will think I'm worthy to lift me out of it. Purgatory, whether popish or Protestant, is a doctrine of devils, and it has no place in the thinking or theology of the people of God. Do not be dismayed. It is not this driving yourself into the ground that is going to do you any good. It is facing what caused the fall. And like Israel, it is judging what caused the fall. And when sin is put under the blood, it is gone. And what's more, its power to hurt and its power to deprive us of the victory of Christian living should be gone with it. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Because as this whole Bible reading combines to teach us, there is victory in the place of prior failure. This Bible reading tells us how we may have that success where before we had failed. It shows us first and foremost that we get that success by standing on the promise of God. Sin and failure are horrible. But horrible as they are, they do not nullify the covenant of God. The Lord made this point to Joshua in a very telling and in a very suggestive way. Look at verse 9 of the portion we read. Joshua sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. Now, I want you to notice that very carefully. The liars in wait went between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai, that is on the east side of Bethel. Now, go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and it's the same town, spelt slightly differently, Hai here, but it's Ai, as we have taken the Cambridge Bible pronunciation for ease, Ai on the east. And he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. I want you to notice that. That's not one of those mere coincidences. That is done by God for a purpose. There was a spot where Abram came, having received the promise of God that God would give him this land. And Abram raised an altar to the Lord because he had received such a promise. And the place of Joshua's ambush was the very place where Abram had raised an altar in view of God's promise giving him and his seed the land. Now, I believe that Joshua knew that very well. Joshua was the minister of Moses. There was no man in Israel who was better acquainted with the books of Moses than Joshua was. This was a man who knew this place because it had been recorded carefully in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Joshua knew, therefore, that he was attacking from the place of strength. He was attacking from the very place that commemorated the promise and the covenant of God. This land belongs to Israel, and this land belongs to the seed of Abraham. He had God's covenant, and he went forward on the strength of it. And you know, so does every believer have the covenant of God. The promise of God is, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under law, you're under grace. You are justified, therefore sin shall not have dominion over you. By justifying grace, in union with Christ and through the merits of Christ, you've been lifted out of the realm of defeat and condemnation, and you've been brought into the realm of the sons of God to live in Christ. And sin shall not have dominion over you. And when you're tempted to think that you can't deal with temptation and you can't deal with sin, remember the promise is that there is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. Notice that. It doesn't say you're powerful. It doesn't say you have great willpower. It doesn't say you have tremendous character. It says God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what ye are able to bear. That's the promise of God. John told his little children, as he termed them, ye are of God and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are justified, therefore sin will not have dominion over you. God is faithful, therefore with every temptation he will make the way of escape. You are God's children, and you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Therefore, ye have overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the high calling of the people of God. Let's never forget that. That's the high calling for Christians generally. This is not an elitist message. This is not for a little group of the superior Christians. This is the normal Christian life. And that's why Joshua 8 verse 1 can say to us, as it said to Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. It's addressed to some. Indeed, I would have to say it's addressed to all of us. We have failed in holiness. Can you not put your finger where you've fallen flat in your face, where you ought to have been going forward in victory? We have failed in holiness. We have failed in our separation from the world. We have failed in our prayer lives. We have failed in our devotion to our God. We have failed in storming the strongholds of the devil. We have failed in our witness. We have got to face it. But to a people who look into themselves and find failure, there is this word, fear not. You don't have to remain in failure. Past defeats do not need to haunt us forever. The way to have victory in place of defeat is to go forward on the promises of God. And again, the way to gain that victory is by means of a full commitment to the goal of obtaining it. Verse 1 says, take all the people. You remember the spies had said, just take 3,000. But the Lord says, no, take the great bulk of the army. Take all the people. And out of that people, he actually for the assault took 30,000 trusted warriors. But bring all the people into this. Total commitment. And then in verse 26, we read, Joshua drew not back his hand. Total commitment. Now let me make this very clear. Spiritual warfare, whether in the area of personal holiness or the area of public service, spiritual warfare is not a matter that can be pursued with half-heartedness. You remember that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You remember the Lord Jesus talked about the single-mindedness that holiness demands. In Matthew 5, 29 and 30, he says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If that's what causes you to sin, you're better blind than using your eyes to sin. Extreme? Well, listen to the other side of it. Those who sin are damned. Not that Christians are sinless in their lives. That's not true. Their only perfection is in their Savior. But people who are living constantly in the practice of sin, Jesus said, will be cast into hell. The world of difference between a Christian who finds sin as an intrusion in his life and a sinner who finds holiness as a foreigner invading his territory. World of difference. Not only a world of difference, an eternity of difference. But Jesus says, if your eye is going to lead you to hell, you're better to be blind than life. This is extreme, but it's extremely right. He says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Cast it from you. It's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Half-heartedness in this pursuit of spiritual victory should have no place in the life of any child of God. The words of Solomon were never truer than here. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Full commitment to the goal of victory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.